healthy marriage? Is there some things that kind of come up in your mind about what a healthy marriage might look like? Y quizás hay algunos que tienen en su mente lo que es un matrimonio saludable. Y al pensar en esto, muchas personas piensan así, pues yo tengo que hacer ciertas cosas para mantener un matrimonio saludable. Many of us, we think, well, in order for me to have a healthy marriage, I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I have to do this, and A, B, and C. And if these things are there, then I will have a happy marriage. And many of those things, we think about, well, if I have the money, and if we can just maintain our money, then we'll have a happy marriage. Other people will say, well, if I can take care of my health, then we'll have a happy marriage. Or other people will say, you know, as long as I have employed and I have a good income and that solidarity, I'll have a good marriage. And what we do is we tend to think in terms of our marriage by all of the external things that are in place. Y yo sé, hermanos, que las cosas afuera del matrimonio sí afectan el matrimonio. Las cosas como si hay suficiente dinero, si hay trabajo, si tenemos un hogar con un techo que no tiene leaks, pues será un matrimonio bonito. And so we begin to think about this list of all these things that we have to have in place in order for there to be a good marriage and a healthy marriage. And as we begin to thinking about that, I want to examine the scriptures and see if that really is true. And as I began to examine the scriptures, I found that is not really what makes a marriage healthy. In fact, those are not the things that really make people happy, or a good person, or a healthy person, or even a healthy Christian. Y muchas veces pensamos de ciertos esas cosas que son externales de la persona o external del matrimonio, y no pensamos en las cosas que en la realidad como somos. And so I want to begin talking about that today. And the way that I found out was how you have a healthy marriage is you take a look at the fruit of the marriage. Y cuando uno vea lo que ese matrimonio produce, pues uno puede determinar si este matrimonio es saludable o no. So you take a look at the fruit of the marriage, but then you start to think about, well, where does the fruit come from? And how does it grow? And how does it develop? And where does it come from? Well, there is a passage in Scripture that says that there are fruits of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Hay un pasaje, hermanos, en Gálatas que habla de los frutos del Espíritu. Y cuando el Espíritu de Dios está presente en nuestra vida, yo como un cristiano, si yo busco las cosas del Señor y si yo estoy buscando las cosas del Espíritu Santo y mi esposa está buscando las cosas del Espíritu Santo, juntos nos podemos tener como un jardín del Espíritu Santo moviendo en nosotros. Y si mis hijos, ellos están buscando las cosas del Espíritu Santo y ellos están desarrollando su propio jardín, juntos nos podemos tener como un rancho grande, ¿verdad? You know, if we had all of our gardens with the fruits of the Holy Spirit working, our home would be like this great big forest, like this great big farm of beautiful things growing. And so I began to look at the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all those things that are found in Galatians chapter 5. And I'm going to start talking today about growing and developing each and one of these individual fruits in your marriage and in your home. Entonces, lo que voy a hacer es tomar un fruto de todos los frutos del Espíritu Santo y voy a platicar y estudiar este fruto y cómo se describe la palabra del Señor este tipo de fruto. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is how do you develop each one of those fruits. And the first fruit that I'm going to talk about today is love. And when we talk about marriage, we talk about love, and we have a lot of really bad ideas about what love is. If you were to ask, take a sheet of paper and write a definition of what love is, we probably would have all different kinds of ideas of what love is. Si estamos tratando de escribir una definición de lo que es amor, si tomamos un papel y un lápiz y escribimos lo que pensamos, lo que es amor, vamos a tener muchas diferentes ideas de lo que es amor. Y lo que el mundo dice acerca del amor es mucho más diferente de lo que dice la palabra del Señor. Muchas veces escuchamos más del mundo y no de lo que dice la palabra del Señor, por varias razones. Hay unas personas que dicen que el amor es sexo. El otro dice que el amor es una emoción. Uno puede caer en amor, tener el amor, y a veces el amor se para. See, there are some people who think that love in marriage simply is sex. Others think that love is an emotion that you fall into. Well, I'm in love with this person today, but I used to be in love. But I'm not in love with this person the way that I was in love with them back when I was in my 20s. And, you know, now that we're in my 50s, you know, the love is just not there anymore. And so we have all these different ideas of what love is. I'm going to talk today about what the Scripture says, what the Bible says. And see, as we talk about making our marriage better and making our home better and all of these things, we begin to understand what the Scripture says. 1 Timothy chapter 1:5, I want you to see in the first point, and if you have a bulletin there, I have the outline there, and you also have it up here on your screen. But I want you to notice that love is a sacrifice and it is not an emotion. El amor es un sacrificio y no es una emoción. Pues muchas veces pensamos que el amor es una emoción. Y cuando yo veo a esa persona, pues hay un sentimiento en mi corazón. Pues sí, esa es, pues, es una emoción. Ese no es amor. El amor es mucho, mucho más que una emoción. Sí, incluye emociones, pero no es una emoción. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, "The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart, and a pure conscience and a sincere faith." Debes hacerlo así para que el amor brote un corazón limpio de una buena conciencia y de una fe sincera. First thing I want you to notice that there is a sacrifice and love is a goal. You know, just like you have soccer and you have a goal, in order to score a goal, you have to overcome a lot of people, a lot of angry people and people who don't want you to score. You have to overcome people who train all of their lives, who train their body on what to eat. They get up early and they practice, and their whole goal in life is to make sure that you don't score a goal. And love, the Bible is saying here that the goal is love. You've got to get to there. But then look at where it says, and notice how it says, which comes from, it has given you the origin of what love is and where it is coming from. Love comes from a pure heart. Love comes from a good conscience. Love comes from a sincere faith. Now, how many of you, when you're going through life and you're young and you're looking for a boyfriend, you're looking for a girlfriend, and you're looking for potential marriage material? You know, I had that son, talk with my son. I said, "Hey, son, what do you think about that girl? She's not marriage material, Dad. Don't even go and go there." So, oh, that's interesting. Okay, what is marriage material? We all have our idea of what marriage material is. Cada uno de nosotros tenemos una idea de lo que es una persona que es ideal por el matrimonio. Entonces, ¿cuáles son las cosas que califica esa persona de ser es una persona que es un desearable para entrar al matrimonio? What were these things? Now, notice what it says here. A pure heart. How many of you are looking for a pure heart? You know? Skinny jeans has nothing to do with pure heart, guys. All right, how many of you guys are looking for a pure heart? Did I just say that? Can you take that from the tape? Take it off the tape, please. A good conscience. Ladies, how many of you are looking for a guy with a good conscience? Or is that the last on your list? And also a sincere faith. Where do you find a man, a woman, a girl, a boy, with a sincere faith? Now, when we talk about premarital counseling and you're talking about getting ready for marriage and who you're going to marry and all these types of things, a sincere faith needs to be very, very important. Why is it? Because what you value, what's important to you, it's going to be important to a sincere faith. Is there a God that is offended if you do certain things? Hermanos, un fe sincero quiere decir que hay un Dios que es real en mi vida, y si yo hago ciertas cosas, yo ofendo a este Dios que está vivo, que está real. Eso es lo que es una fe sincera. Y yo tengo unas convicciones en mi vida que yo no voy a ver esto, no voy a leer esto, no voy a pasar mi tiempo haciendo estas cosas. Porque yo tengo una fe, una relación con el Señor que es real. Y desde este corazón que es sincero, desde mi convicción, desde mi corazón que es puro, que es limpio, desde mi corazón yo pueda hacer una promesa a ti delante del Señor. See, if you have a pure heart and you have conviction and God is so real in your life, you are able to make an oath and take an oath at the altar that say, I will love you till death do us part. Because God is so real, and the moment that I forget that and that I let that go, I offend my God. And my God is so real, I am not going to do anything to offend him. You see, because love is sacrifice. What you sacrifice for will be your goal. Because love has a sacrifice. It is not free. It is not cheap. You cannot pay for it. You cannot buy it. But you must sacrifice everything that you have in order to obtain it. So love is sacrifice and it's not emotion. No solo es, hermanos, una emoción. La Biblia nunca dice acerca de emociones, pero dice con el corazón uno debe que amar al Señor. Con el corazón nos podemos determinar nuestros valores. Nuestros valores. With our heart and with our emotion, we determine what our values are and what is very, very important. You say, Pastor, you know, I can't get up, you know, in the morning to come to Sunday school. Man, I just can't do it. Man, I can't get up to get my kids up. And you know what it is, you know, it's just hard. And, you know, Monday you can do it. And on Tuesday you can do it. And on Wednesday you can do it. Saturday you don't have to do it. But on Sunday, if you say you can't do it, but you just did it for 5 days, what is that? Is it that there's a value there? There's a value that is really, really very important. Entonces, cuando una estima, cuando eso es una estima, you know what? And emotions are really good. Someone, one of the ladies in our church had a wonderful, wonderful idea. And it was her husband would not be willing to get up and go to Sunday school and go to class, and so they would never show up. She wanted to go, her husband didn't want to go. So she got up and she made the most wonderful breakfast for her husband at 7:30 in the morning. I mean, it was the biggest spread. And all of a sudden, guess what? He got up to eat for that stomach. And then she said, you know, now that we've had a wonderful breakfast, let's go to church. Let's do that. And they were in Sunday school. Now, why is it? Because we have values. We have things that are important to us, things that impress, things that we will get up and that we will sacrifice for. And sometimes all we have to do is just turn those around a little bit. All we have to do is just rearrange the values. Now, ladies, it's not that your husband is not committed. It's not that he is not a sacrificial person. He just might be committed and sacrificial to the wrong things. And so what you have to do is just determine and change those things around for what he will sacrifice for the things that he will do. That's why love requires sacrifice. Hay una historia en la Biblia cuando Rey David, él está pasando de ir al templo para hacer su sacrificio. Y mientras él está viajando para dar su sacrificio, él tenía un amigo y dice, oh, el rey David, mira, yo tengo otro cordero, ¿por qué no lo usa en su sacrificio? Y él respondió, yo no puedo honrar al Señor y adorar al Señor y llevar a él un sacrificio cuando yo no pague nada. So King David, he said, I can't go and worship God and say that I love him and do the things that he requires of me if somebody else is paying the price for it, if somebody else is paying the load for it, if somebody else is doing it. And so sacrifice, hermanos, it is tough, it is difficult. You have to get up, you have to work hard. You know, when the offering plate comes by and you put something in there, you worked for it, you sweated for it. When it comes by and you put absolutely nothing in it, then, you know, that's between you and the Lord. You have to determine what is really important and for what will I sacrifice for. Second thing that we see here is that love is honor and devotion. Yo quiero, hermanos, voltear en Romanos capítulo 12, versículo 10, y menciona esta palabra amor también. Qué interesante, hermanos. Vamos, cuando uno habla la Biblia, y cuando abre la Biblia y vea muchos versículos que dicen lo que es amor. And so here's Romans chapter 12, and it says this. It says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Hermanos, love is honor, and love is respect. It's devotion. Dice la palabra de Dios, Romanos 12, y versículo 10. Ámense los unos a los otros con amor fraternal, respetándose y honrándose mutuamente. Esa palabra que quiere decir devoción, hable de lo que es importante para la misma vez, lo que has diariamente. The word devotion means continual. It means weekly or daily, or it might mean monthly. But it has the continual habit. It is a continual sacrifice. It is ongoing and it never stops. In other words, it defines what our lifestyle is. Our devotion is what you do. And if you want to be that athlete, you have to get up every morning, every day, and do it. Sometimes you have to do it even twice if you want to succeed. That's called devotion. It's now a lifestyle. It's been said that if you have a thought in your head and you allow that thought to become an action, and then you take that action and you repeat it every day, that thought that was in your head now becomes a lifestyle. And that's what devotion is. Si una persona tiene un devoción, no es un sentimiento por un instante, pero es una idea en su mente que se pone en práctica y que se hace cada día. Que se hace cada día, día tras día, tras día. Ahora, no es una idea, no fue solo una idea para ahora, ahora es un estilo de vida para mí. Now he says that love is a devotion. So in other words, I can't say today that I love my wife any less than I did 25 years ago when we got married. It's got to be daily and it's got to be devotional. It can't be any less because every day you have to do it. And notice that what it is, it says, be devoted to one another in love. And then it specifically says how you do that. You honor one another above yourselves. Específicamente se describe respetándose y honrándose mutuamente. Entonces, hermanos, el amor es un tipo de honor. El amor, hermanos, es una devoción que uno hace cada día. You know, in my house there are certain plates that they call the fine china. We never use them. And every time I think about using them, my wife says, no, we're not going to use those. Today. Why? Because they're special. They are set apart for a certain reason. And they're very, very important. And they're very, very a high value. And we honor those plates because they were given to us on a certain occasion. And the same way, we ought to look at our spouses with honor. And honor means that you treat them differently and you treat them with respect. I remember when we got married, when I got married, you know, I lived with guys in my house. I had five brothers. And we used to do certain things to get my brother's attention, you know. And in ese hogar, cuando yo crecí, pues había muchos, todos puros varones en mi hogar. Tenía cinco varones. Y pues para ganar la atención de uno, pues uno debe que hacer ciertas cosas. Y pues yo me chiflé, hey, come over here. I'll tell my brother. Whenever I needed my brother, I would whistle for him. And then he knew that he would come. So here I am, I get married, and my wife is in the other room. So I need to get my wife's attention. Well, I do what I always did, was I whistle for my wife. That was the last time I whistled for my wife. And she made it clear to me that she should be treated with honor and respect. Now, I didn't honor and respect my brothers, but I did learn to honor and respect my wife. And you know what I did? When I began to honor and respect her, she began to honor and respect me. Why? Because the Bible says that we are to honor mutually. La palabra de Dios nos enseña que el amor es una devoción, es un honor, y tenemos que dar un honor a la otra persona, y que este honor debe que estar regresado. And so now we begin to learn to honor and to respect. And so, you know, that's why when you come to church, you know, you don't say, hey, Vince, come over here. And you say, no, Pastor, come over here. So we don't say, hey, Manuel, come over here. No, hey, Brother Manuel, would you come over here? Why? Because there's honor and there's respect, and you put people into places of respect, and we have to teach our young people, put them into places of respect. And you treat and you honor. Why? Because we ought to be honor and respectful for our children as well. Entonces, hermanos, el amor es una decisión. Y en tercer lugar, hermanos, amor es acción. Hermanos, el amor no es un sentimiento. El amor, hermanos, es mucho más importante. El amor es de poner un lugar, una persona en lugar de honor. Pero mucho más de eso, el amor es acción. Es imposible, hermanos, de amar sin acción. You know that it is impossible to love. By what the Bible says, biblical love is. It is impossible to love unless you put love into action. I want you to look at this verse, John chapter 3 and verse 16. El libro de Juan, el Evangelio de Juan, capítulo 3, versículo 16. Ese es un pasaje que es muy popular, muy
loved us more than we deserved. When we were not even thinking about it, we didn't even care about it, it was on God's heart that he would send his son to die for you. Mientras no estaba pensando en eso, no ni tenemos ninguna idea del amor de Dios, él mandó su hijo para morir en nuestro lugar. Y muchas veces, hermanos, no queremos dar amor, no queremos expresar amor, no queremos hacer ningún sacrificio por un otro persona, porque estamos pensando, ¿qué voy a recibir? Si yo hago esto, si yo pago esto, si yo mateo, ¿qué voy a recibir? Y personas así, hermanos, nunca reciben, nunca están contentos, ni tampoco tienen la paz del Señor en su vida. You know, people who think twice about giving because they might not get back, because they might not receive, never have peace. Yes. They never understand love, and they never receive love because they cannot receive love back. Hermanos, love is an action. Do not be deceived, hermanos. Love is an action. It requires sacrifice, and it requires honor. And everything else after that will fall into place. Hermanos, as I'm talking about these fruits of the Spirit, I want you to understand that love is not just an action that we do, but that love is what God grows and what we allow to grow by the Holy Spirit of God. Hermanos, la fuente del amor es el Espíritu Santo. Si el Espíritu Santo está obrando en su vida, si está vivo, si está activo, y hay ciertos mandamientos en la Escritura que es nuestra decisión de empujar al Espíritu Santo, de no permitir el Espíritu Santo en ciertas áreas de nuestra vida. Si no permitimos que el Espíritu Santo está moviendo nuestro, o tocando varias áreas de nuestra vida, es imposible para esta semilla de crecer en nuestra vida. No podemos ver amor. Hermanos, amor en nuestra vida es una evidencia que el Espíritu Santo está presente y está moviendo nuestra vida. The love, hermanos, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And when you allow the Holy Spirit of God in your life to begin moving things out of the way and rearranging your life and changing the way you think and changing the way you talk and changing the way you act, when you allow the Holy Spirit of God to give some room in your life, then from that will become love. And love will come out of you, and your attitude will change, and the lifestyle will change, and the way you walk, and the way you talk, and the way you feel will change. Why? Because love is a fruit of the reaction of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Show me a man who is devoted in love to his husband, and I'll show you a man who's in tune with the Holy Spirit of God and what God is doing. But it is impossible to love somebody without the Holy Spirit of God moving in our lives. Es imposible, hermanos,